Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 22nd. Joining us this morning, again, repeat performance. He just doesn't want to leave. Michael Davis Hughes. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, so soon. Right.
You got rid of old what's-his-name, too. That's a pretty good thing. You ready for your second question this week? Though, you're not going to be able to defer to anybody.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Why does doing something thoroughly or all the way said to be going whole hog?
Oh. Well, the obvious answer is that the whole hog is not just part of it. It's the whole pig.
Okay. You know, being from Great Britain, I would have thought you would have converted to sheep just instantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
One definition of hog.
That would have been a bad idea.
Yeah, and joke too, yeah. One definition of hog is a young sheep, not yet shorn.
Hmm.
Long ago, many farmers chose not to shear hogs completely because the fleece was very short and hard to get to. Others of a different mind chose to go whole hog and shear the entire sheep. According to this popular theory, this is where we get the expression.
Interesting. Oh. You know, back in Wales, Brian, we don't dock the tails of sheep.
Oh, so they're long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which for lambs, it's kind of cute, you know, when they're...
Sure, yeah, you can't look like puppy dogs.
But as they get older, you know, it gets a little messy back there.
Yeah. Kind of like moo. With fur. Yeah. That's about as deep as we need to go in
yes,
that area.
Yeah, now let's move swiftly along.
Yes, unless you're close to a river. And they're in the river an awful lot. Yeah.
It cleans things up.
Black sheep, white sheep, yeah.
Clean fleece.
It just kind of keeps going. Downhill. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of why we got you back.
Yeah.
Have you officially retired from doing the bike racing?
No. I think I've officially retired from doing the Race Across America.
Okay.
You know, I can check that box.
There are others like the Race Across South America?
There are several ultra endurance events throughout the world. So, you know, I'll continue to do things that are a little bit shorter. So, you know, within that 1 to 3 day range.
Just because it's easier on the body or it's easier on the family
just,
and the sport
team? All of it. Yeah. I mean, it's a huge logistical puzzle when you're trying to put together a team, crew, support vehicles and everything like that for a Race Across America.
Now, there was, sometime in the 80s, it was running and horse. I forget what it was called, but the training protocol was very similar, where you were like marathon running, but you were also marathon horse riding.
Interesting.
And the horses got fatigued, so you were having to train with multiple horses also.
Mm. I think that training aspect, you brought up the other pieces, but just the amount of training necessary to really get to the start line of a race like Race Across America, I mean, it took a lot.
So with some of those types of events that occur, is it a challenge? Is it a genetic calling? Was it a dare?
Yeah.
What got you even thinking that was going to be something called fun?
Yeah. Well, I will say that there were moments of fun. Actually, a lot of it was fun, but, you know, absolutely brutal for a lot of the time as well. I would say that my motivator, Brian, and I've been asked that question and I've asked it of myself. Like, why would you put yourself through something like that? And I think part of the answer for me lies in, yes, the challenge. Like, how far can you push the body? How far can you push the mind? What is that limit? And can we play around in the fringes of that limit? The other piece of it, I think innately as humans, when we have a privileged life, and I consider myself as having a privileged life, I mean, that's the reality. I understand that, is that innately we seek out things that make us uncomfortable or that push our limits because we don't have it in our everyday lives. Some people do. Some people, you know, that's the reality of their everyday life is they are living on that edge by necessity. But for those of us who don't, I think we seek that out. And that's what I was doing. I was just seeking out that challenge and that discomfort because it doesn't occur naturally in my day-to-day life.
So since you've already ticked that one off the list,
yeah,
are there ultra races or long races other than that one that have kind of got your attention? You know, we see I'll call them goofies because I don't think that they do it right. The ones that drive the right up and down the Pacific Highway. Yeah. And it's like, you know, if there's no shoulder,
yeah,
you know, you need to have somebody there other than just an attitude.
Right.
Why people, you know, have to make the adjustments around you. But certainly the Pacific Highway is one that we see an awful lot of bikers. Now, I don't know if they go down to the Mexican border or not, or
yeah,
all the way up to Alaska, you know, if that's their goal.
Sure. You know, the one, and I'm not going to consider doing this, but the kind of the next, because RAM, the Race Across America, RAM is considered the world's toughest bicycle race. So I feel like, I've accomplished that.
If you've
that
already
piece,
done it, never mind.
But the shorter ones, I'd be going for time, like 24-hour races where you can just go as fast as you can, or travel as far as you can, I should say, within 24 hours. Those kinds of things kind of intrigue me.
They'll do that on regular roads. They won't do that like or Pelodrome, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, Velodrome.
Yeah.
There are those events, but usually on a kind of a closed road.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about
traffic.
Yeah. Or cows.
Yeah.
Or elk. Yeah.
Or elk. Or,
yeah.
Exactly, like we do around here. You
yeah,
never know
exactly
what's around the corner.
Yeah.
Mountain lions, bear.
Landslide.
Landslide.
Slip outs. You know, the whole nine yards. Yeah. So there are some of those that are competitive.
Yes.
But it's a different form of competition.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting for me, I'll be 53 next month, is that this is something that I've kind of discovered later in life, is this ultra endurance events. So in the shorter events, I'm not as successful. You know, these young bucks, they just take off.
More like sprinting?
Yeah. But, okay, you know, as you get older, that more experience and that pacing comes into play. And I think that psychologically, you just get tougher, right? As you get older, there's that wisdom that's there. And that, I guess it's an acceptance of some of that suffering, and your pain tolerance maybe raises a little bit. So, yeah.
Some of us say that the nerve endings start to die out. Well, pain tolerance just sounds so much cooler.
Yeah.
I would think that there is a camaraderie that's developed also.
Yeah, there is.
First time, okay, it's you and your group, fine. But after that, you start to see the other players, the others that are doing the same thing, and that there's a bonding.
Yeah.
True, false?
Absolutely true. So the ultra-endurance cycling world is pretty small, but very close-knit.
We'll talk very about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes from, I don't know, the Ultra World. Okay, and Eureka City Schools do. the bonding, you know, they talk about it, and I experienced it not at high school because I didn't play high school ball, but at the college level.
Yeah.
Is that practice was more fun than the games.
Yeah.
And the locker room and being together and having that commonality for an extended period of time, a common experience. I mean, there really is. I can't imagine going to college and not playing sports. So now you're in this scenario.
Yeah.
Can you imagine not having these friendships and not having these connections with these folks from
all over the world? Yeah. It's giving you an example, Race Across America. So there are normally 20 countries that are represented, at least 20 different countries that are represented in the Race Across America. So, you know, people from all walks of life, all ages, And there's something about that shared suffering, I guess. You know, when you don't have any suffering going on, or you don't have an adversity in your life, then relationships tend to be kind of superficial because you don't need each other, right? You don't need to necessarily support each other. But when you have adversity, it brings people together. And races like this, people, even though it's competitive, you are supporting the other competitor. I mean, it's a race more against the elements and the race itself, as opposed to a race against another person.
Yeah, I see it akin to golf, where, you know, you make a great shot, I'm applauding.
Yeah.
You know, because you just appreciate what it takes to do that.
That's what it is.
Rather than, you know, you put on pads or and go to battle, that's a win-lose instead of everybody being able to win a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is like that, and not just with the other cyclists, but also their teams. You know, the crews develop a camaraderie that is pretty special.
A lot of sharing, either sharing information or watch out for, you know, the communication back and forth, or tips and tricks that might be incorporated the next time.
All of that, yeah, all of that sharing. In fact, we had back in 2018 when I competed in Race Across America, we had a request for one of the crew to actually come over to help another team, actually because they lost a team member.
Cool.
Yeah, and so there is actually sometimes swapping of team members or a donation of a team member or a crew member because someone else has, you know, gotten ill or fallen out for some reason. So there's that going on, you know?
That esprit de corps, so to speak, is kind of... Now, with that race or with any of the other long races, does everybody start at the same time? Is it like the road rallies where it's staggered starts?
So staggered starts for Race Across America, for example, we were in two-minute intervals. So pretty close, but two-minute intervals.
So if somebody needed help, there was probably somebody within 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, to begin with, right? But you think about 3,000 miles,
yeah.
You start spreading out and... Yeah, but it's closely watched. So you have a tracker in your pocket, and you know, so everybody knows where you are. Dot watching is what they call it. You can see on the map.
With marathon running, there are, I guess, medical aid stations or water stations all along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything akin to that for these longer races?
There are 53 time stations along the way. Some of them manned, some of them are not. But these are ones that the crew has to check in and say, hey, I'm coming up to time station 23.
Just make sure you're on the right road kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So there's the route is already predetermined, but you have to kind of check in where you are when you are there. Some of the time stations have support from, I'll tell you about one that was in Indiana. It was at a high school. You know, the high school sports boosters made cookies and brownies and cakes and everything. And there was a big deal. They're out there hooting and hollering. You know, that kind of support is, like, priceless. You know, it is pretty awesome. And then just people...
You wonder who they were cheering for? Kept looking over your shoulder?
Is that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's the other part of it, too, is just this support that comes from, you know, people that you just don't know. But that route, that race has been going for 39 years. And so the people that live along the route know that it's coming. Well, it was canceled in 2020.
It's the same route each year?
It is. Or has been for the last, like, 13 or 14 years.
Okay.
It used to end up in Atlantic City in New Jersey.
On the boardwalk kind of thing?
It did, exactly.
Right at the
ocean, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So then they changed it to Annapolis. And it's been in Annapolis for, like I said, about 13 to 15 years.
Probably safer.
The city dock in Annapolis, yeah.
Yeah, and end up... so they don't end up at the academy?
No, it's pretty close to the academy.
Okay.
Yeah, not too far away.
That's going to be
kind of
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Takeaways I would think that most people would think would happen is appreciating the length and breadth of America, the different states, different cultures, different topographies, different flora and fauna, weather patterns. I mean, all those things that we hear about,
yeah.
But you know, unless you... travel an awful lot, you may not truly appreciate.
No, and it's a whole different feel that you have in a bicycle than you would driving in a car, right? Not only the speed, but just the senses that are stimulated, you know? It's not just what you see and what you hear, but you smell it, you taste it, you feel it, you know,
all
of that.
That would be the bugs, the taste and feel part.
I tell you what, going through eastern Colorado, there were these biting flies. Oh, something fierce.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like an hour or two, or like a full day?
No, probably about an hour or two. But they were, and it was right before a storm, right before a thunderstorm. I don't know what it was, but they, I mean, it was unpleasant. Yeah. It was very unpleasant.
I was thinking like ladybugs would be, you know, they're just so weird looking if the time was right.
But what you say about, you know, the flora, the fauna, the variety
the
in the United States.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable what this country has. You've got Monument Valley and, you know, these huge red sandstone monoliths sticking out in the middle of the desert, all the way through the high country of the Colorado Rockies, you know, the flat cornfields of Kansas, and then the, that beauty on the eastern seaboard towards the Appalachians, and the, how green it is and how lush it is and jungle-like, and the humidity, which is not so great on a bike, but yeah.
Then there's the downside, yeah. Oh, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with bicyclist for this purpose, yeah. I guess, mm-hmm. Michael Davis Hughes. Michael, the concept of seeing so much of America, from the deserts to the Rockies and everything in between, has it served as a vacation planner for you also? You know, I'd like to go back and spend a week in pick a point that you just kind of blew through and it kind of felt cool, but you want to do a little bit more investigating, or some historical sites that you may have gone past, or the geologic ones, like you were talking about, you know, in the arches and in that general area.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. So I've already kind of committed to my wife that I want to take her to Pagosa Springs, which is in Colorado, in southern Colorado, just this great little town.
It's
just
not Route 66, is it?
It is.
Sounds like it ought to be.
It ought to be, but yeah, it's not.
Okay.
But it is. It's just one of those great little towns, you know, and as I went through it, I thought, I'd love to vacation here, you know. This would be kind of a fun place to go. And honestly, another place in Colorado, I guess Colorado is one of my faves, a place called La Vera, which is in a kind of in a valley between two sets of mountain ranges in southern Colorado, two 10,000-foot, 11,000-foot peaks, and then there's got this beautiful valley, lush, green, small town. I mean, that's the kind of place I could move to, you know. It's
okay.
Just spectacular. And you have this orchestra of mountains around you that's just, you know,
those
takes
the
breath away.
Those are the places I'm always curious. Why did somebody initially settle there?
Yeah.
And what is the commerce? You know, was it mining? Was it timber? Yeah, hopefully it wasn't tourism, because that probably explains why it was really tiny.
Yeah.
You know, those types of things. But you get a chance then to explore it and discover it and find out really what it was like.
Yeah.
What about through the desert? Anything of interest there out?
I hate the desert, honestly.
Okay.
I hate the desert. If I spend one more day in the desert, it would be, you know, 2 days too many.
Yeah. Now, the Midwest.
And it's because of the heat. I mean, the heat was so oppressive. You know, we're talking mid-June.
Well, okay. So say you go back in 3 months. So you're now in January.
Yeah, that would be more pleasant. But I think I'd have PTSD from that. From the June heat.
Now, you mentioned the people in some of the communities.
Yeah.
Did that influence the race much? Or was it just kind of a nice little, you know, attaboy, pat you on the head as you're roaring past?
No, I think it was a total motivator. One of the things that it did on a larger scale for me is, you know, we hear so much negativity about our country and about its people in mainstream media. And the reality and my experience and my cruise experience is we have amazing people, you know, and I guess it lifted my spirits and gave me kind of hope and humanity that we are the people, you know, and I think about the United States in that way, and I appreciate the people of this country, and that race really crystallized that for me.
Hey, Ken, not that it's that comparable, but when I go to some of the radio conventions that I go to, they're all in small towns. I mean, none of us are in big towns, and one of the members of the bank hosts. So we're like in Adrian, Michigan. We're going to be in Alabama coming up, you know, small little towns. And you just wander around and you see normal people, regular people.
Yeah.
You know, it helps to break down some of the crustiness that we kind of get.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I will tell you as well, I'm going to give you one example of a time station. I mentioned that there were 53.
Yeah.
There's one special time station for me in time station 30, which is Fort Scott, Kansas, so the eastern side of Kansas. I came in on my bicycle, and as I was coming in towards the time station, I had this group kind of converge on either side of me with a Welsh flag running alongside.
Oh, no kidding.
On one side, an American flag on the other side. I arrived at the time station, and they had a special gift for me.
Do you have to stop at the time station?
You don't have to.
Okay.
But we choose it. Sometimes it is important to do that to honor the folks who are there supporting you know? And just the level of support there and just makes you feel special. In fact, that's the only time that I've been asked for an autograph. So,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
they probably thought I was somebody else, but that's okay.
They have you sign the Welsh flag?
They did not. They had me sign a baseball hat, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, not really a Welsh sport, as you can imagine.
No, I wouldn't.
Cricket?
Think. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, there's no out of bounds there. No fair or foul. Yeah. So the cuisine. Normally when most people travel,
yes,
their food is part of the culture, part of the community, part of... Did you get a chance to sample? Or
not really.
You're just kind of blasting through and you've got your prescribed stuff with all the nutrients and goodies that you need? And
yeah, pretty prescribed diet, to be honest with you. Mostly liquid diet because it's easier on the stomach. To be able to digest
less pit stops.
less pit stops, and you just got to make sure. And it's easier for the crew to manage because once you get past day one, now remember, I'm on a bicycle for 20 hours a day for 12 days. So about day two, day three, I can't make any decisions. So the crew makes the decisions for me. They decide when I eat, when I sleep, when I go to the bathroom. I mean, it's very prescribed.
You have to single focus
or you start
getting a little dingy?
Yes, both. Yeah. Oh, my job is just to ride the bicycle. That's all I'm really capable of doing at that point because you're so sleep deprived, you get hallucinations, become delusional, really, which happened to me in the Appalachians the last night before I finished.
Were you hearing
crazy
guitars?
Banjos? I was seeing people that weren't there.
Oh, okay.
And I believe that my crew had taken me off the course and were making me do hill repeats.
Oh.
On another, just random hill repeats to punish me for whatever reason.
Just to get even with some.
Yeah, it was weird, you know.
So you push through that?
Push through that. Only because of the crew.
And then things reset?
Mostly.
Or did they just kind of diminish?
Yeah, it diminished, there? You know, we got into morning, things got a little bit better. But, that was a pretty dark time. I had some pretty dark times, you know, I've got to admit that.
Supported by the crew? To get you through it?
Absolutely.
Or talk through or throw water on you to bring you around?
Yeah. I mean, we tried the water thing with sleep deprivation. But honestly, the crew, without the crew, I don't think I'd have made it out of the desert. They are the ones that, I mean, I was a solo rider, but it's definitely a team event, you know.
Right. Well, in 4 hours of sleep, it doesn't take too long before, you know, we all kind of start getting a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hey folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davis Hughes. Michael, why Why would somebody be interested? And I guess as importantly, if they already are interested, and I figure it is a genetic thing, you know, calling. What do you do? I mean, do you, you know, training for a marathon, that's pretty straightforward. There's lots of probably websites and books and magazines and people that are doing it. Not too many folks are taking a couple of weeks off in the middle of summertime and riding from coast to coast.
Right.
That's a little bit more unique.
Yeah.
How did you get that information once you had the interest? And if somebody else has the interest, what would you suggest that they start to do to explore what it really means?
Yeah, I mean, there are ways, you know, you can look on the web. There are a number of books that have been written about ultra cycling. But really, making that one connection with one individual that has been part of that community.
Like a mentor
and it's like
kind
a
of thing?
Like a mentor.
Yeah, okay.
And then it just webs from there. You know, it's a network. Like I said, it's that really close-knit community. And people are so open to sharing the information with you. And so once you get to know, you know, one person, then it just kind of opens that door to two more people and so forth and so on. So it's actually very easy to kind of break into understanding more about the event. Because I knew nothing. Prior to 2014, I did the Lost Coast, you know, the Tour of the Unknown Coast. That was about it, you know. I mean, I enjoyed cycling, but nothing like this.
Do you still
enjoy cycling?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
So
yeah.
It didn't burn you out?
No, it didn't. It didn't. I mean, I had some physiological effects that I'm still dealing with from the race. Numbness.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some numbness, nerve damage in my hands from
just
holding onto the handlebars for so long.
Grabbing hard for so long?
Yeah, or? Just the, you know, having the handlebars resting for so long, 20 hours a day, 12 days, and, you know, the vibrations that go along with it, even though I have very well padded, you know, handlebars, it just takes a toll on the body. And I would say that, you know, mentally, psychologically, it probably took me 3 or 4 months to really kind of come back to feeling. Because when you get into such, you know, such an extreme environment and you come back to normalcy, it's tough to reacclimate.
It's not normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I would think some of the explorers, you know, the Arctic explorers, I've not done much reading there, but even with some of the astronauts, they go up and they come back and it's different.
Yeah.
It just is different.
I'll tell you, speaking of outer space, so Race Across America has been going on for 39 years. And in that 39-year history, for the solo division, there are team races as well you can do, where it kind of relay races within that race, or you can go as a solo.
So that might be more sane.
Yeah,
it might alleviate some of the nerve damage and some of that kind of stuff
if
you're doing shifts.
If you were in shifts.
Yeah.
I did it in solo, and I'm really glad I did it in solo. But for solo riders in that 39-year history, more people have been to outer space than have successfully completed the Race Across America. So there's about 350 people. It's a pretty small group of people that have done it, finished it. This year, there were only 3 of us that finished the race.
And by finishing, you don't mean finished. You mean finished within the prescribed time?
Yes, there's a time cutoff. So it's 288 hours or 12 days. So you got to make it. 3,000 and
it's not 1
miles.
Hour at a time for 288 days.
Well, depends on how you want to think about it, right? While you're riding.
Yeah. Oh, gee. The training, I would suspect, is pretty extreme, pretty radical for a lot of us. Could somebody with a regular job do it? Are these folks regularly employed, or are they seasonally employed, or are they independently wealthy?
A little of all of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it possible? Yes. You know, I won't call my job regular, but I have a job. I have a full-time job. I have a family. For me, one of the fortunate things is I don't need a lot of sleep. I'm one of those
individuals that doesn't
need a lot of sleep.
Oh.
So typically 4 and a half hours of sleep is sufficient for me. So my training involved getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, getting on the bicycle, riding 4 or 5 hours, you know, I'm going to work.
So you were able to balance the two. Now, you're slight of build. Are there some guys that are bigger? I would think that size, mass would be a negative, just wind drag as much as anything. You know, you could argue muscle mass on the other side too.
Yeah. I would say more in the mountains because there's over 150,000 feet of climbing in the Race Across America. So when you're obviously going against gravity, that weight is a factor in slowing you down. But on the flats of Kansas, it doesn't matter how heavy you are, you know.
Sure,
you
can really, you're just really going and hope you have
or a going bad. Downhill, you know, you can get more speed going downhill. No, yes, I have seen, no, yes. Yes, there are people that are of larger build than me.
Big
that
boys
are successful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much of it's mental. You know, so much of it
that's
is mental.
That's what I would think, that it's a commitment.
Yeah.
To do it.
Yeah.
And nothing's going to hold you back.
That's right.
Any gals doing it, or is it all guys?
No, it's the winner this year, first time ever, was a woman, which is fantastic. Yeah.
Cool. So lots of friends. Now you got lots of places to go vacation to, mm-hmm. and people to see when you're there.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
And my pleasure.
Appreciate
Enjoyed
it. See everybody on Monday.